From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams. Sunday, June 1st, FEMA closes down its trailer parks along the Gulf Coast, and the FEMA toxic trailer saga heads toward another chapter. In response to the hurricanes of late summer 2005, FEMA bought thousands of travel trailers, 32 feet long, called emergency living units. Families needed shelter, but the following spring, as hot weather returned to the Gulf, a lot of families really wanted out. The problem was formaldehyde. Today on Morning Edition, NPR's Kathy Lohr told the story of a Mississippi family, the Huckabees, having health troubles, in their view, because of formaldehyde exposure in FEMA trailers. And Kathy included this tape from Lindsay Huckabee appearing before a congressional committee.
I feel like essentially we were lab rats. We were put in this situation. We were exposed to this. And seeing as this large group of scientists knew about it, it seems like they should have at least been doing studies to find out what the effects were.
Studies were done. Trailers tested. High levels of formaldehyde were found. And people whose eyes burned had trouble breathing. The biggest fear, and it's a fear of cancer, was long-term exposure, especially for children. In a few minutes, we'll visit one of the plants where the FEMA trailers were made. First, we turn to formaldehyde itself. It's not hard to find. It's in glue and plywood and plastics and carpet, and new cars and new homes, as well as trailers. But as the use of formaldehyde has increased, so have concerns about its safety. NPR's John Hamilton offers a brief history of a chemical that has proved to be extremely useful but also hazardous.
50 years ago, there wasn't much chance you'd encounter formaldehyde unless you spent time in a laboratory or a funeral home. Ron Wade's family was in the funeral business.
I can remember my father, if he got a cut or something, he would actually pour some formaldehyde on it, thinking it would disinfect, kind of like alcohol.
These days, Wade runs the Anatomical Services Division at the University of Maryland's Medical School. That means he deals with about 1,500 cadavers each year. Wade says he wasn't exactly surprised when studies began showing that formaldehyde was bad for you.
Well, I kind of knew it was hazardous. I mean, when your eyes water, your throat burns and all that, I mean, that's your body telling you that, you know, you probably need to get some fresh air.
Chemists learned how to make formaldehyde in the mid-1800s. One of its earliest uses in the U.S. was to preserve corpses shipped home from the Civil War. But early in this century, industry discovered the chemical could be used to make plastics. And by the 1970s, it was showing up in everything, from foam insulation to construction glue.
I could go into any house and I can find a formaldehyde-releasing product.
Thad Godish is an expert on indoor air quality at Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. He says scientists have known for a long time that the chemical could cause health problems.
Formaldehyde is a potent irritant. It's going to irritate the eyes, nose, and throat. And one of the things formaldehyde also causes is fatigue. It just wipes you out. You feel tired all day long. You feel like you haven't got a good night's sleep, and maybe you didn't, because it also interferes with sleep.
It can also cause asthma attacks, and long-term exposure is linked to cancers of the nasal passages and sinuses. Those health problems prompted some government regulation and a bunch of lawsuits. As a result, Godish estimates that between 1980 and 1990, formaldehyde emissions from a typical household product decreased by more than 70%. Nowadays, the formaldehyde in consumer products like glue tends to stay put, except under certain conditions.
You increase the temperature, it starts to break down. You increase the relative humidity, it starts to break down. And if you increase both the temperature and the relative humidity, you have lots of formaldehyde released.
Just the kind of conditions you find along the Gulf of Mexico, where all those FEMA trailers ended up. They were built with plywood and particle board that contained formaldehyde. Godish says the concern about those trailers shows that the issue hasn't gone away. Ron Wade, who preserves corpses with formaldehyde every day, says safety has become a big deal.
This is kind of the office area. And then we go through the double doors, and you have the biohazard, laboratory area, authorized personnel only.
Wade is authorized to work with formaldehyde, and the basement here has a state-of-the-art ventilation system.
You also have respirators that you can wear with organic filters that will take out the vapor.
Do you ever think about how much formaldehyde you've inhaled in your lifetime?
No. I don't think about that.
That's partly because he's much more careful around formaldehyde than he used to be. John Hamilton, NPR News.